Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you are. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
How do you go about getting an exorcism?
I beg your pardon?
Hi, this is Mark Kermode. Thanks for downloading this Kermode on Film podcast. I'm delighted to say that for the first time in 2021, we're joined by the great Greg Proops. Regular listeners will know that Greg's been on the show a few times before. We had a couple of conversations around the American election. The first one, I was very, very nervous. The second one, I was delightfully reassured. And I should just say at the start of this, probably by the time you're listening to this podcast, it will be 3 or 4 days old, because Greg and I are speaking on Thursday, the day after the atrocity that everybody saw on television that happened in Washington, D.C., with the fascist mob descending on Capitol. So Greg and I are basically kind of catching up the day after, and we are both aware that history is moving so fast that by the time you listen to this podcast, a number of other things may have happened. So please listen to this in the knowledge that it's Thursday. Firstly, Greg, how the hell are you?
I'm hanging tough, like American democracy. I've got the rosy bloom of newness on my cheeks, and yet I've been ravaged and torn. You know, yesterday was a real dire day. It was the culmination of what he's been angling for 4 years, which was to have his little private army of white supremacist Nazis be given.
When you say he, you mean
Orange 45. Give them full reign, with the law looking the other way, to disrupt the legitimate counting of the votes, which is what was going on. So it was disgraceful at the very least. It was lethal. One of his followers was shot and died. A woman who'd come there for the express point of being seditious and leading an insurrection. And so I don't know if there's irony in that. Everything is a tragedy that happened yesterday. So they're calling for his removal today, which I'm pretty excited about. Now, by the time this goes out, Jennifer and I put a podcast out on Tuesday where I suggested the Republicans were being seditious. And then one day later, the podcast sounded like it was from 1853. You know, something bad might happen the day after, you know. Someone wrote yesterday on Twitter, don't you guys think you need to do an emergency podcast right now to back that one up?
So look, so Greg, in terms of, you know, my experience of yesterday was yesterday, Wednesday, the day that everything happened, was I was up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning because I was absolutely glued to CNN, which I can get on my laptop, because the thing I was interested in was the Georgia runoffs. Yeah. The idea that control of the Senate could be wrested back was all important. And it became apparent about 4:30 a.m. our time that actually that was a possibility. And I started texting people, 4:30 in the morning, saying, I think, astonishingly, this is going to happen. Yeah. So I began the day with a sense of extraordinary, a spring in my step with Warnock and Ossoff, and it was just amazing. And then I was watching live the official Congress certifying the votes, knowing that we were going to see people like Ted Cruz stand up and make an ass of himself in public. And then, of course, we cut away to the events of the crowd, which Trump had clearly stirred up, descending on the Capitol. From what was it like? I mean, I presume that you, same as me, watched all this unfold in real time. Tell me your experience of it.
Jennifer and I were elated because we were, you know, I've stumped a lot for Ossoff and Warnock. We did, believe it or not, a Who's Line event with all the Who's Line guys that raised a couple $100,000 for them before the November election. So I've been in contact with their campaign and tried to pump them up as much as possible because this was our last ditch effort to get the Senate back. So on the night, the results were just amazing. They called Reverend Warnock early, which I didn't think they're going to do. I thought they're going to drag this out like the presidential election. And then Ossoff declared that he won before the night was over, and they declared him like in the middle of the night. During the shit show yesterday, he was officially declared the winner. So there we were. We got up in the morning. We were fist bumping. We were happy. We were having coffee. Like, we took back the Senate. So now we'll have the deciding vote in the Senate will be Vice President Harris. We have the majority in the Congress, and we have a president. So let's get to work, right? We can – all these things we can do, right, immediately to undo the damage. And then, of course, there's Giuliani giving a speech that we need to have violence, the Don Jr. Then Orange 45 gets up. And within an hour of the – how long had the count gone on? They'd had like three or four people speak before the shit hit the fan. And so watching them break into the Capitol – watching the cops fold on them, watching them start to vandalize, seeing the Congress run out of the room, seeing arms drawn in that chamber, tear gas flung everywhere. The day that he used the flashbangs and held the Bible upside down and used the military to clear that peaceful protest in the summer.
Yeah.
I went into the garage to my shrine. You know, I have a Corona shrine, and I got down on my knees and I bawled for half an hour. And then I came back in here and pulled it together. Yesterday, I felt the same way. I just felt like it can't get any lower than this. This is absolute, as Caesar said, when the first conspirator stabbed him, this is violence. And the people that attacked the place are all well-known right-wing, you know, Nazi fascists. Types. Yeah. They're known, they're known on Facebook. They're known on the internet. They're known on QAnon. They're known to the FBI. So
It is worth saying that several of them were wearing T-shirts, Camp Auschwitz, 6 million was not enough.
Yep.
I mean, so when people say you mustn't throw around terms like fascists, we're not throwing them around. They're fascists.
Thank you. And I appreciate at the top of it, you said they were fascists because I really hate the dancing around. Yesterday, they were calling them protesters on the news, and that finally stopped about halfway through it. And they started calling them insurrectionists and seditionists. Terrorists. And what they are is white supremacist fascist terrorists. They're not they're not protesting anything. The world is going their way. They're white people who somehow, by the way, Mark, if you want to get into conspiracy, somehow had the money and the wherewithal to travel to Washington, D.C. during a pandemic and organize and go to his crap rally and then be shuttled over to the – and then how fortunate for them, they knew which entrances to go to that were poorly guarded. Seeing the dude with the Viking hat on and the furs, the other guy sitting at Pelosi's desk. This is all red meat for the right-wing element in this country, the right-wing terrorist element in this country, and plays exactly into what Vladimir Putin would want. There can be no further exploration or explanation of Orange 45's behavior. He's absolutely a divisive foreign agent fomenting terrorism in his own country.
Well, at the point that we're talking, Putin has already taken the opportunity to say this, you know, this shows the weakness of Western democracy. And so, I mean, obviously, as Pelosi has said just a few hours ago when we're having this conversation, it's a gift to those people. I mean, it is the phrase that you've used, you know, Putin's poodle. It's absolutely a gift. I have a very close friend, Mike, who's in the Dodge Brothers with me, who's originally from Alabama, and then his family were in San Diego. And he said that watching the coverage unfold as it did, he said the thing that almost made him cry was seeing somebody carrying a Confederate flag in that building. He said, you know, everything else, it was the presence of the Confederate flag being waved in that building. Tell us, you know, for UK audiences, why is that such an appalling thing?
It's the equivalent of the Nazi flag in America. The Confederate flag was initiated by a group of seditious states who seceded from the Union in order to keep the enslavement of Black people a reality as long as they possibly could. And it's been held up ever since then as part of their culture. And, oh, they were misunderstood, and it was a noble cause that went awry. It wasn't a noble cause. It was a cause that sought to enslave the population, some of which the states had more Black people than white people. They were keeping the majority of people enslaved. That meant rape. That meant chattel. It meant murder. It meant torture. It meant breaking up families. It's the most heinous thing that's ever happened in the history of the United States. And because of what happened and all these senators bringing up 1876 yesterday, that election was the one that messed America up irrevocably. If it hadn't been thrown to Rutherford B. Hayes, if the commission hadn't ruled for the white supremacists, we would have had a proper reconstruction in this country, which meant Black people were being elected to office, Black people were being given land, Black people were allowed to live their lives and vote and things like that, Black men. After Hayes took over, that was it. White people felt the need at any cost, anytime a Black person had money, anytime a Black neighborhood got funding, anytime a Black man was elected to office, they would do exactly what they did yesterday, which is have a violent riot. In those days, lots of lynchings of Black, innocent Black people. So that's why the Confederate flag is so hateful. It means cross burning on the lawn. It means beating children and making them do your bidding. And it doesn't mean anything else. I don't like the recidivism of saying that the South had any nobility to its cause. They didn't. They simply wanted slaves.
And let's be very clear about this. When the attack happened, Trump issued a statement which has subsequently been taken down by Twitter. I think he's been banned from Facebook now until the inauguration actually happens. Who knows how long the Twitter ban may or may not last, in which he referred to the people who had descended on the Capitol. He said, you know, you're special people and we love you. These are people wearing 6 million were not enough T-shirts. These are people wearing Camp Auschwitz T-shirts. These are people carrying Confederate flags in the Capitol building. These are, as we said before, fascists. And this kind of harks back to Donald Trump, you know, good people on both sides. The last time we saw this kind of thing. I watched a little bit of Trump's address to the crowd before the crowd went down to Capitol. And I was actually astonished that he didn't simply get arrested there and then for sedition, because he said, you know, okay, you made a joke. So, from your point of view, tell me, because I was literally sitting there going, why isn't he just being arrested? He is literally telling this crowd to do what they're about to do.
Right. It's really complicated. I mean, he should have been, of course. We found out over the last 4 years. Well, let's be honest. Let's go back like 4 or 5 presidencies. The president has almost unlimited power. After W, when W pulled all that unilateral shit and invading Iraq and the illegal war against Afghanistan and all of that, with no consensus, you know, like even HW put consensus together before the first crappy Iraq war and got a bunch of countries to agree that maybe this would be something we should do. The power has been almost unlimited. Even Obama had largely unchecked power. He just wasn't a Nazi and didn't abuse it. So there's that. That's why he wasn't arrested. So yeah, what he did was highly illegal from the minute he did it. The other thing was, and let's be, you know, on December 6th, he tweeted, come out on January 6th. He was inviting all of his peeps to Washington. Yeah, it's going to be wild, he said. And wild. So he like the TV host that he is, he previewed it. He told us all it was going to happen. So it's a real failure on a lot of people's parts. To watch the performative hand-wringing after by Pence and McConnell was, of course, excruciating. But at least they were acting like grown-ups for once in their life.
Okay. Just also before the thing happened, we heard Giuliani using the phrase trial by combat.
Yes.
Which seems to me to be completely unambiguous. Trial by combat. That's what he said. Again, is that not clearly seditious? I mean, obviously, I think since then people subsequently heard the phone call that, I mean, Giuliani is almost, I imagine, as a comedian, you must look at him and think it you can't even do jokes about it because nothing could be as ludicrous. Whilst this was all going on, having said we're going to have trial by combat, Giuliani rang what he believed to be the answer phone of a sympathetic Republican senator saying, okay, well, what we got to do is you just got to stall, you got to stall, you got to stall, we got to do all this stuff, you got to stall, you got to stall. And he left an incriminating voicemail on the wrong person's answer phone.
Well, he's incoherent. he's the one who met at the Four Seasons, lumberyard or whatever.
Between the morgue and the porno shop, he was a man who was recently described by Charlie Brooker as so corrupt that his hair started crying.
He expelled gas on camera. He's had his face melt in front of us. He's a noted maniac. The idea that he still has a license to practice law is fairly. We're having to take a real hard look at the Bar Association in this country, because we've seen the lunatic fringe of lawyers, Lynn Wood, Ms. Cole, Ms. Ellis, and Giuliani, act like raving maniacs and waste all of our time in a very dangerous game. The lawsuits aren't frivolous that they're bringing. The lawsuits are wholly, wholly without any merit whatsoever. And his inciting the crowd was really vile in a thousand ways. But I've always detested him. I was in,
of course,
London on 7/7 that year. I happened to be there, and I was supposed to do a TV show the next day, which got canceled, of course. And then, hilariously, and you'll love this because this is show business, Mark, another producer called me and said, I heard you're not doing that show tonight. We're still taping our show tonight. Do you want to do it? And I was like, I'm good. But sadly, Rudy Giuliani was in London that day, and he was on every bloody show all day long. And he kept saying it's like World War II. And it was like, no, it's not. He has just been a peddler of fabrication and hate his entire career. And by the way, that he was America's mayor and all that. No, when 9/11 happened, he was wildly unpopular. The only thing that buoyed him was that he showed up on the day one day and bossed some people around. Then, as pointed out by many more commentators than I, he made sure he was safe and that everyone else was exposed to poison air for as long as humanly possible. It was that whole rally was, by the way, there. Jennifer just showed me on the automatic Twitter machine. There's video from Don Jr. yesterday of all of them in a room watching the various monitors, watching the speeches go down. And then the congregation, and Ivanka's there, and there's music, and Kimberly Guilfoyle's there, and she's dancing. Eric's there, and they're treating it like a viewing party.
Yeah.
And nobody wearing masks, and nobody standing apart from each other inside, of course. Because they, as someone once said, they breathe COVID like other people breathe oxygen. I mean, Rudy Giuliani is the biggest super spreader of any human that's ever lived.
Yeah, I mean Giuliani. I think from the UK point of view, you see him on television, and you just think I don't understand what his role is, because he doesn't look like a human person anymore. I mean, Breaking Wind in front of the drunk lady was again a piece of comedy genius, but it's not situationist art. It's actually somebody undermining the Constitution. When he was standing between the mortuary and the porno store. Discovering for the first time that actually all the networks had now called the fact that Trump had lost, and he was like a performance artist. It was like somebody doing an act of the most criminally evil person you could possibly imagine. And then the next thing is his head melted on television. I mean, if you made that up, Greg, as a screenwriter, or is it? People would go, oh, yeah, you could just, backpedal on that a little bit, because that's overdoing it. That character wouldn't exist in real life.
Yeah. I mean, when this all started, a friend of mine asked me to write a little something, and I did. I may have told you this once before. And it was the very beginning of a short story, like a film noir set in Los Angeles during the COVID. And I wrote, this was in like April, once the COVID rallies started, meaning the super spreader rallies, what was the line? It was something like, the second wave hit like Vikings crossing the Danube or whatever. And then I predicted he would leave the country. But I wasn't wrong about the super spreader thing. I thought I was being a maniac by saying that they were going to have events where everyone would get COVID. And they ended up having events where everyone got COVID all through the election till the very bitter end, and including Monday in Georgia. He went down there for another event with Kelly Loeffler, and everybody didn't have masks on. And, how many people will die from these? How many people will die from yesterday from COVID?
Yeah. You mentioned Kelly Loeffler, of course, after this had all happened. And, whilst Giuliani was attempting to ring people up to tell them to delay. That's what we want to do. When people were returned to finish the certification of the presidential vote, some people who had said that they were going to stand up and object. We all know that obviously the objections had no legal standing whatsoever. Yeah. They were all, you know, false and inspired clearly by Trump. Loeffler was one of the people having lost in the runoffs, who then actually said, I can't in good conscience go forward with my objection. Seems late in the day, but, you know, hey, it's like it's like some Trump loyalists saying, I can't stand by him anymore. And you go, well, there's 13 days of his presidency left. So well done. Well done. The last 13 days of
profiles
4 years.
Courage.
Good for you. Well done. So do you think that afterwards, when everyone returned, that the tide had turned? Because looking at it from here, from the outside, it seemed to me that as we went in, when Ted Cruz stood up and said, I object, there was lavish applause from the Republicans in the, I mean, you know, really like about a minute of applause for him saying, I object. And then him doing that sanctimonious fuckhead speech about 39% of the population believe the election was rigged, to which the answer is, because you told them it was.
Yeah.
But afterwards, when they got back in the room, it seemed to me that everyone being basically in a bunker, and I presume having to ring home to tell their kids, it's okay, we're all right, that seemed to focus the mind. And it seemed to be that the appetite afterwards was less. Was that a turning point? From in America, was that a turning point?
Yes. Conditional, yes. Kelly Loeffler pulled the ripcord. Purdue pulled the ripcord. Lankford pulled the ripcord. Inhofe pulled the ripcord. They were all going to be conspirators, right? They ended up with 8, I think. It started out with 13, so 5, yeah. 5 bailed. McConnell wasn't having it because McConnell's not insane. He wanted the judges. He wanted the tax cuts. He wanted to control the Senate. Now he can see the writing on the wall, and he just, let's just move on. We'll have a new president. You know, he's still in the Senate, blah.
Can I just say, minority leader? McConnell.
Yeah.
I love the way it rings. It's like savoring a fine wine, isn't it?
Yes.
Minority leader.
It's delicious.
I believe
that he's been, even counting Trump, I believe Mitch McConnell's been the most destructive politician in America over the last 20 years. He's been absolutely a terrible racist and obstructionist. He's kept so many good things from happening, you can't imagine. And during the COVID, he's been absolutely awful. And do you know who Tim Meadows, the actor, is? He was on Saturday Night Live, and he's in, you know, he does a lot of TV shows and movies. He's a friend of mine, and I worked with him on a sitcom last year, the year before. And he's a very calm, you know, completely. His comedy's low-key. He's not like me. He's not obstreperous. He's not profane. Tim talks like this. He does his comedy like this. We were on the set a year ago, and he said, you know, I don't hate many people, Greg. But when Mitch McConnell dies, I am going to do a dance. It was the way he threw it away. I was just like, that's putting it pretty plain. But he didn't say 45. He said McConnell. And there's a, you know, so to see the rug's going to be pulled out from under him, you're going to see all kinds of changes. Everything literally will get so much better in 2 weeks' time. It's the holding on till then and hoping that he doesn't do something batshit crazier than he did yesterday.
So what do you think? Because at the time that we're speaking, I've read that he's now gone to Camp David, and the feeling is that he'll hole up in Camp David. Currently, his Twitter account, I believe, is suspended. His Facebook account, I know, is. So it's basically like cutting out his tongue because, you know, shame on Twitter for not having censured him earlier. So he doesn't have any way of talking if he can't do it through social media. However, at the time that we're talking, I've just before I spoke to, I'm speaking to you now, I saw Nancy Pelosi get up and basically say, now, it's 25th Amendment, and if you don't, we will move to impeach. Explain to the Brits what those two things mean.
Okay. The 25th Amendment is the provision in the Constitution that allows for, was written very vaguely, as Jennifer discussed. She has been studying it. I got up this morning and reread it. It's a little airy-fairy. I think they were thinking that one day a president might die or be incapacitated, in which case the vice president's supposed to move in. There's only three ways it can happen. One way is the president himself informs the vice president that he can no longer hold office. That's not going to happen. Another way is the vice president can go to the Speaker of the House and the president pro tempore of the Senate, who in this case happens to be Chuck Grassley, which is just an official position in parliamentary, you know, it's not an elected thing. And then they have to all serve written notice to the cabinet, and then the officers of the cabinet have to vote. So that's one way it can go down. So for instance, if 8 or 10 of the cabinet decide he's not worthy anymore, but mind you, we're talking about Mnuchin, Pompeo, Ross, DeVos. We're talking about a rogues gallery of criminals who are in no way going to put the beast back in the box here. Pence, you know, is in trouble with him because, to be honest, those seditionists yesterday were looking for Pence. They're thinking about hurting him because they now he's an enemy all of a sudden, even though he's been a complete lickspittle the whole time, because he was advised by Mark Short, his advisor, to uphold the Constitution yesterday. He's like, they had a meeting and he said, you can't go in there and object. You know what I mean? Legally, you're in big trouble. You can't do it. So he didn't do it. He actually played ball.
I mean, as was pointed out, he had as much legal power to reject the vote as Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway did to make La La Land the best picture. They may get up and open the envelope and say it, but it still isn't true.
No, it's so not true. It was still Moonlight. And the other way is, Nancy can reintroduce the articles of impeachment back into the House. The House can vote on it and then send it back to the Senate. And then the Senate has to have 67 senators sign off on it. So right now there's 48 Democrats, two independents, and you know what I mean? So it'll never happen because 8 senators yesterday, mind you, voted to object. 8 still stuck to that. And the majority of Republicans in the House also objected. So we're talking about a giant group of white supremacists, lawless neo-Nazis in our own Congress, which will seem familiar. You've got Tories, you've got all the Brexiters. None of the Brexiters have been punished. None of them have even received the slightest slap on the wrist. Cambridge Analytica's just morphed into another thing. Mark Zuckerberg's not in jail, by the way, in any country. And he decided to shut down Trump's Facebook yesterday, which was supposed to be some noble thing. We've had 4 years of him.
This is the whole thing. It's, like I said, people saying, I can't do it anymore. You go, there's 13 days of it left. Right. What do you mean you can't do it? Now, Greg, this is a hostage to fortune because by the time people are listening to this, it's going to be Monday or Tuesday of next week. So I'm getting the impression from you that you're saying this isn't going to happen. The impeachment isn't going to happen. The 25th Amendment isn't going to happen.
I want to be optimistic because I'd like to think people will do the right thing. But the track record of these Nazis isn't so hot. I could see it getting to the Senate floor and losing by 1 or 2 votes. I would dare say the only person I would put in the column who already proved it in January is Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney would vote to impeach again because he's independently wealthy. He's a capitalist banker. He's from a state where he's almost sure to be reelected. And he, you know what I mean? He doesn't have to worry about the same nutbags that the rest of them literally are frightened to death of offending, because you saw what happened yesterday. They realized that they've already set fire to the powder keg, and there's no way. I'm mixing 3 metaphors here. They've set fire to the powder keg, and there's no way to put the genie back in the bottle. There's 2 members of Congress, one from Colorado, Babert, and one from Georgia, Taylor Greene, who are QAnon members. QAnon is a group that believes the Democrats are vampire, satanic pedophiles who want to kill children and drink their blood. There's 2 members of the Republican contingent in Congress. That is their belief system.
And also Donald Trump has said they're basically decent people. They're against child abuse, therefore that's good. What that means is they're a bunch of right-wing Nazi nutbags, but they're useful to me, so I will stand by them. Because as he has demonstrated time and time again throughout this, as I kept saying, you know, if only there'd been some prior warning that he might do something like this, like the whole of his life.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that the last time we spoke, the thing that he was engaged in was attempting to execute as many people as possible before he wasn't president anymore. The fact that one of the things that first, you know, rose to prominence, you know, international notoriety, was him taking out adverts in American newspapers to attempt to execute. I mean, it's like he has a fetish for execution. It's something that he's always wanted to do. And now that he's got a limited time. So, I mean, it is... it is like, how many people can I kill before I have to leave the building? I mean, it is that level of depravity, isn't it?
Very much so. Well, look at it. We're going to be up to 400,000 dead. 3,900 people and more died of COVID yesterday. I live in Hollywood, and we're the epicenter of it. I mean, literally, basically, we're being told by our mayor that act like everyone has it. Just don't, you know? And all this is going on with that backdrop. And he will kill everyone he can. He was a known abuser of women. It's known that he threw rocks at babies next door. His father was a screaming racist.
Greg, after the last podcast, somebody said to me, Greg Proop said this weird thing about throwing rocks at babies. I mean, no, it's true. Greg, tell us the story, because this is demonstrably true. What's the Trump throwing rocks at babies story?
When he was growing up and he was a child, like 6, 7, you know, there was a baby next door and he was caught throwing rocks at it and he had to be stopped from doing it. A small infant baby that couldn't defend itself, rocks, which of course could kill it or maim it. Yep. That's a known story about him. It's also known that
it's not a contested story. It's a true story.
No, biographers have put it in. You wouldn't be able to keep saying it over and over. E. Jean Carroll has an active case against him about her sexual assault at Barney's some time ago. She still has the dress, which has his DNA on it.
Yes.
The Central Park Five, as you brought up, long after they were exonerated, and literally they were exonerated. Not only were they they were unjustly pressed into and arrested, they were imprisoned and had to go through the whole painful process of they didn't do it. They were innocent from Jump Street. And he took out full page ads in the New York Times demanding they be executed.
Yeah.
By the way, these executions that have been taking place for the last week have all been against women, people of color. And they were done in the dead of night with private executioners. How do you like those apples? And they were talking about bringing back firing squad for one of them. He has a fetish with death and he wants to kill as many Americans as he can. Why? Because one, he's a cruel, horrible, sadistic, warped individual. And two, is what his masters want. So now it's shit hitting the fan time, because in 2 weeks' time, he will be a private citizen again. If he's impeached again, he won't be able to run for office, any kind of office again. Mm-hmm. He's already been impeached once. He owes the Deutsche Bank a gajillion dollars. He's in trouble with China. The state of New York has 1,000 lawsuits that they're ready to drop on his head.
These are financial lawsuits.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the sexual assault ones, which are still alive and aren't out of court yet. And his buddy, Ghislaine Maxwell, that famous Brit, is still in the pokey, and her trial is still coming out. And she will most certainly squeal if she has to, I believe, in order to save herself. She's been begging to be let out, and she's the one person he hasn't pardoned or let out, you noticed, even though the Epstein thing was very sticky for him. So he's in a world of trouble in 2 weeks, and he knows this. People are talking about Kushner splitting and moving to another country. There's all kinds of wild theories going on now. I can't tell you what's going to happen, because I couldn't have told you that any of this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I would have thought America and Britain would have manhandled a plague like we have in the past. America and Britain didn't die of H1N1. America and Britain didn't die of SARS. But this is killing us. Our leaders are incompetent, and everything's been rolled out in a terrible manner. And it's a function of greed, you know, and incompetence and disregard for human life that so many people have.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the things that I found very distressing in the last 48 hours is just looking at all the pictures of British politicians standing by Trump with their tongue up his arse and thumbs up, you know, Michael Gove and obviously Nigel Farage and, you know, a whole rogues gallery of people who are doing very well in the UK now. Boris Johnson praising him. I mean, here's the weird thing. You'll know this because we've talked about it before. I've had this thing for about 4 years, which is it is your moral duty to be outraged every single day that that vile monster is in office. And if you're not outraged, then it's like Macbeth, it's the dumbing of the moral sense, you know, the numbing of the moral sense, and it's the normalization of it. And that is how you get Nazis, because things just become normal. And I have believed for 4 years that every single day you must be angry about or outraged or shocked by Trump's presence. The most remarkable thing about the past few days, as I said, we're having this conversation on Thursday, so I don't know what's happened in the couple of days between then and people listening there. The most remarkable thing about the past 48 hours, quite apart from the fact that we all sat in front of the television looking at what was happening, going, I can't believe this is happening, is firstly, well, I kind of can believe it's happening because he told us it was going to happen. How many times, you know, did he say it? But also suddenly seeing people going, oh, God, he is terrible, isn't he? And it's like, for those listening, they can't see what you just did with your head, but yeah. It's like, yeah. And I know, you know, people say, Mark, for God's sake, stop going on about Trump. People, you know, why don't you tweet stuff about your own government? Because, you know, there are Tories and Labour and there are, you know, but there is a stench around Trump, which is in a whole different magnitude. You know, my political affiliations are my political affiliations. I'm a middle class, with bleeding heart liberal lefty who, you know, in the past was a, you know, student activist, hard lefty. I have no shame about that. I've learned a lot of interesting things, but I'm now right down the middle, bleeding heart, middle class, liberal left. That is what I am. Trump is different. Trump is a stain on democracy. And it's just it's one of the reasons I love talking to you. You are one of the few people that I can talk to who shares that sense of outrage every day. It's been exhausting, Greg.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. And we get up exhausted. Jennifer and I, the last few days, it's just been, we feel like we've been kicked around the room. And I absolutely agree with you. Either you is or you ain't. There was a lot of comics who were like, oh, well, you know, he's bad. But, and of course, I thought he was the worst president of all time, which he was. Now, this guy's way worse because he's a Nazi and an open racist and openly calls for the destruction of American democracy. I've been outraged every day. I made an album in August that I've never put out. I made an album 2 years ago where I categorically go through everything with every Republican. I said, why would I want to listen to anything you say while there are babies dying in cages? Why would I want to entertain any notion that you had of politics or your opinion even? I don't. I've shut down. My goal in the rest of my life is the stick by stick destruction of the Republican Party. And you're watching them do it to each other in real time.
Yeah,
that whole thing that happened yesterday with the QAnon people and the objectors and all that, when Pence becomes the object, it's the enemy. Pence is the most brazen, lickspittle, lapdog, spineless invertebrate that ever lived. And they were going to hang him. So, you know, everything's split. I believe the future of their party is what will happen in the 1850s, or often happens, you know, when parties reconfigure. They've lost, you know, a good deal of them. They're crazy, Nazi, insane people. Yeah. And they embraced them by wanting to grab power. And now they realize that that's not really like a viable way forward forever and ever, maybe for a few more years. Also, by the way, and this will interest you, the Justice Department that Biden unveiled today, and you can have a look at it after this. Merrick Garland, for instance, is a familiar name. He was nominated for the Supreme Court by Obama. And the deputy of the Justice Department that he named today, who will most certainly be approved because Kamala will cast the deciding vote, are both experts in domestic terrorism. And so our Justice Department is going to realign real big. And I think you're going to see a lot more probity and a lot more looking into what's going on with domestic terrorism in the United States, which is an enormous, as you heard the FBI director said last year, The biggest problem in the United States is domestic terrorism. Yeah. So we've always been that way, where there's always been a lot of rednecks running around with guns, demanding this and that. And basically, to boil it down, a black man was president for 8 years and a woman wanted to be president. And then a black woman got elected vice president and they can't have any of that. That's what they're mad about. There's not a lot of other things they're mad about. That's what they're mad about.
So I was, just to kind of bring this vaguely to a close, I was listening the other day in the car to Bill Hicks' album, and he does the, I mean, you'll know all the routines off by heart, as you know, as do I, but he's doing the routine of the guy talking to God about Reagan, go, please God, reach down from heaven and pinch my butt. He can't be president, can he? And he does this whole thing about this astonishment that Reagan is president. And I was listening to it thinking, it's like a golden age of civilization, the Reagan era. I mean, you know, I grew up, this is a true story, Greg, and I tell this all the time, it's true. When I was a kid, I was sitting in the front room and Nixon was on the television. And my father, who is not a man given to great outpourings or anything, I don't know what inspired this, but he pointed at the television. I was very interested in, like, you know, devils and ghosts and everything. And he said, he pointed at the television. He said, you see that? And I said, yeah. And he went, that's the devil. And I had this thing. I mean, I literally thought that Nixon was the devil. My dad doesn't even remember saying it now. I mean, he has no memory of it. But as a child, you know, this was leading up to Watergate. And I was driven by this thing about Nixon. But I now look back. I look back on some of those presidents as golden ages of democracy in comparison to what happened. And I now look forward to Biden and Kamala Harris and think, you know, the Camelot that we lost. Maybe this is. I mean, I know there's a lot of mythology around all this stuff, but Jesus wept. The last 4 years, Greg, have just really reset the dial, haven't they?
I would say so. You've seen a Nazi takeover. I mean, he's as bad as Duterte or Orban or Bolsonaro. I mean, you name your dictator. If he could do what they do, if he could jail every journalist, if he could have his enemies executed, he
would do it.
Basically, COVID was a way to do that because it's attacking Latin and Black people so disproportionately. So he's kind of getting the genocide that he wanted. Yeah, it's way past that. I would remind you that no Republican in my lifetime, I was born in 1959 when Eisenhower was president. Eisenhower never censured Joe McCarthy and never spoke out against him in public. Ever, not once. Not once, not ever. All those people's lives ruined. And Ike was a good old guy who did warn us against the military-industrial complex, which he was quite right about. Nixon, of course, you know what he did. Ford, disaster. Reagan was a screaming racist who let a whole generation of people die from AIDS because he just didn't give a shit. Yeah. And the illegality of Contragate is arguably worse than anything Nixon did. The conspiring to bring in drugs and overthrow governments. skullduggery that HW pardoned everyone for. So none of them have ever been good. But yes, they at least put on the veneer of civilized people. When they lost, they acquiesced, they took their loss. When they won, they, you know, there was also that veneer of civility. That's gone. When you have someone who openly calls people names, when he points at Black women reporters and goes, you're stupid. You always say stupid things. We've sunk to a level that's just beyond. You saw Josh Hawley yesterday come out and go like this to the crowd of white supremacists, throw his fist in the air. I mean, that's a sitting senator from Missouri. And Missouri, 2 years ago, was said by not the World Health Organization, but was it the UN, that the black citizens of Missouri were in danger. It's like a foreign country within our own country, that literally they were, their lives were kind of always on the line because of the way the police operate in Missouri. And that's the state that he's from. He won by a very small margin over Claire McCaskill 4 years ago. And it was white guys who pushed him over the edge. And then this is what you get. You get this seditious. By the way, he wants to be president. So
well,
the beat goes on.
Yeah. Well, look, to end this on a positive note, let's you know, whatever has happened from between Thursday and now, if people are listening now and, you know, Trump's head has turned to cheese or he's been impeached or whatever has happened, the one thing we do know is on the 20th, Biden and Harris are in and the world will be different. So whatever has happened in these 4 days that we've missed out on because we're having this conversation on Thursday, the one certainty is from the 20th onwards, we will be in a new world, won't we?
No question. You'll see this rejoin the Paris Accords within the first week. You'll see us. He'll undo all of the executive orders that 45 did. He'll call Johnson. He'll call Macron. He'll call Merkel. You know what I mean? That we're going to you'll see him spring into action as far as getting all of our allies back together on the team. All of a sudden, we can do things like deal with global warming and things like that. All the important issues. You'll see the COVID relief package go through in, I think, a really short time because we'll have the Senate to do it and everything. Also, now that he has the majority, the swing vote, I think he's going to get all of his nominees through. I don't think there'll be any, you know, they kept saying, oh my God, if McConnell wins, we'll never be able to do anything. And it's like, I don't think that's reality anymore. So I'm pretty excited about that, Mark. I really, really am. And it's what's keeping me going. That and the idea of getting a vaccination and whenever it happens in the next few months. And hopefully by the autumn of this year, summer of this year, we see a little bit of more hope that we're going to be able to go out and eat and resume our jobs and go to movie theaters, things like that. Things that we used to do that were fun. Hug people, share a joint, the things that we're forbidden to do now. That's what I keep inside my heart.
Well, one of those things we're still forbidden to do here, Greg.
I live in California. We're not only forbidden, we're not forbidden, we're encouraged. I get emails from dispensaries saying there's a sale on Monday on edibles. It's fantastic.
I tell you, I mean, I remember when, you know, when the COVID pandemic thing began. And it was said quite early on, you know, by the time this is finished, everyone is going to know somebody that they lost. And that has happened. And I'm sure it's happened to you and it's happened to mm-hmm. everybody. And it has been, you know, it has been the most unbelievably difficult time. And again, I think it was really significant that that Trump said that he felt the pain of the Nazis who marched on the Capitol, but he's never once said that he felt the pain of the families who lost people through COVID because he just spent years, you know, or months just denying it and, you know, pretending that it wasn't real because it didn't suit his political agenda. Greg, it's been lovely talking to you. I don't know what state your country is going to be in by the time this goes out, but I hope it's one that is in a more peaceful place. I send all my love and good wishes to you and yours, and I wish you all the best through everything that's going on. And I just look forward to all of this being behind us so we can just talk movie shit again.
Right? Me too. And I'm so, so looking forward to dropping all of my 45 jokes from my act. The 15-minute, 20-minute, hour-long diatribes against him. I'm so looking forward to dispensing with those. And then we will just talk movie shit one day. Thanks again for having me on, Mark. I really appreciate it. Be safe out there.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please remember to subscribe. If you haven't and you think, oh, I don't like all this going on about Trump and everything, then fuck off and get another podcast. There are plenty of others out there. There's a Patreon page which you can visit. You can also hear more from Greg. Greg, where can people find your stuff?
GregProofs.com. I have a comedy show tomorrow night at NowhereComedyClub.com, or you can go to Greg Proofs to find the link there. It starts at 5 o'clock my time, which is what your time?
You're like 8 hours behind us.
Right. So 6, 7, do the maths. 9, 10, 11, 12. Starts at 1 a.m. I actually counted on my fingers. It starts at 1 a.m. your time, but I do have a few English people who stay up or take a nap and then get up and watch it.
I can imagine. I can imagine. I mean, why wouldn't you?
So I'm doing stand-up tomorrow night. So and I have another show, a podcast on the 21st, so at the same time, 5 o'clock. And then a show in February with a friend of mine named Ben Glebe. We're going to improvise. And we'll probably do another Who's Line show sooner or later. We did one in December. But organizing those guys is like herding fucking cats.
Greg, a joy as always. Love to you and yours. Stay
Thanks,
well.
Pal. You too.
Fight the good fight. Take care. Bye.
Cheers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.